I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Revoice Podcast Network. The mic is ours.
This is the Bad Attitude Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Celentano. And we'll continue our conversation with artist and fellow VCU student Victor Romanko. In this episode, we'll discuss what should never be remade, what might need an update, the difference between stealing, borrowing, and researching, and the trials and tribulations of hosting an art show in this godforsaken city. On the second half of our interview with Victor, we'll focus on some nostalgic aspects of our influences and the difficulties that come with trying to use them authentically. How do you create something original that is collage-like in its formation? On the other hand, how are all the pieces that make up who you are not assembled by all of your favorite things? Pop culture, video games, movies, TV, and music combine into forming our own form of imitation. It seems impossible to delineate, but we'll try our best. Episode 6, I'm about to say a banger.
So we're back with Victor Romanko for episode 6. Victor, how you been? Good to have you back with us on the Bad Attitude Podcast.
I've been doing great. Hope you've been doing good too. I'm excited to be back.
Do you have an album, song, or film that you never want to be remade?
The first thing that comes to mind is Akira. The beauty of Akira is how much human effort went into every single frame.
Yeah, classics should never be remade, I think.
People say, like, oh, I want an Akira live action, but, like, so much of the charm of the original film is that, like, every single frame, every single cell was just, like, so much effort was put into it and so much thought and planning and foresight, and I think it's just, like, almost, like, perfect.
What's your favorite old system?
I say some of the best older systems, at least for my kind of art style that I like to go for, it's got to be the GameCube, and it's got to be the PlayStation 2. Games with that are like made with so much limitations, and just like how they're able to circumnavigate those in like creative ways, and how like art styles can be. We've reached a point where we don't have limitations, or there are still limitations, but I feel like a lot of modern games just aren't as like stylistically exciting because of that. We just have so many things that look exactly the same. They're all like Unreal Engine, Bloom, they've got like motion blur, and they all just kind of, and it comes back to the nostalgia thing. It's like with the world being so crazy with COVID, I think a lot of game companies are starting to realize like, hey, let's just give them something that reminds them of when things were better, when things were more stable. Oh, here's your childhood. You miss that, don't you? And let's just re-release it, maybe add two things.
What about artists or just idols?
Sure.
You know, older people, whoever influenced you when you were younger and that kind of stuff.
The first person, the first artist I could name was MC Escher. Okay. So that got me thinking about geometry without me even really knowing what geometry meant. A lot of like contemporary people who sort of do what I do that I look up to, we all kind of fall under this like umbrella term called like PSX. It's like essentially it's like old school computer graphics, but like made newer. It's just a bunch of people on Instagram, really. There's a guy called Bebok that I like a lot, Lord Stingray. But I don't really have too many mentors, I wouldn't say. I don't know. There's not many people I like go to for advice.
Do you have anything that you consider a guilty pleasure for film, songs, or whatever? Something you're a little bit ashamed of you might not want to admit?
I love hyperpop. I love hyperpop. I don't know.
Anything
ultra pop, fast, if it has break beats, I'm all about it. If it's got like...
Is that just anything ultra pop songs or just certain ones? What's a catchy one that you still love?
I wouldn't say still love because it's kind of recent, but the new 100 Gex album, I still love that a lot. If you listen to any song off of that, listen to 757 or 747. I think it's 747, but that one is so good. And another thing I've been liking and I still like is Plug and B. It's like this, it's sort of like a, this like more atmospheric, I'd almost say, sort of trap beat that has just, and a lot of them just like use like night chord old pop songs. And it's just fun. I just turn my brain off and I have fun.
So Victor doesn't like it when people steal other people's ideas. That's fine. Hard to argue with that. There might be something more to the idea of stealing something creative as well, something that can't be recreated in its original form. Stings a bit more. You can steal a wallet or a car, but if you made that money, you still didn't create the dollar bill.
Yeah, I think a lot of what I make it to, I don't know. I just have a stupid answer for why I do art. It's just, I just like making stuff that's cool. And I like other people seeing it and thinking it's cool. And maybe it just like makes their day a little bit better.
What is the most important thing an artist must do in your mind in order to maintain their artistic integrity?
Don't steal other people's ideas one for one. I know it sounds like a really simple thing, but great artists steal. I mean, there's a difference between stealing and research. Copying is stealing from one person. Research is stealing from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So don't steal from one person. There's this one guy I looked up to for so long. He goes by like osbren.xyz on Instagram, and he's become like really popular for his like low poly sort of old school graphics, like the artwork he'd make with them. And then one of my other friends, I just realized that he just completely like ripped off her art piece. It's like completely like one-to-one. Like, it's all about like a, it was like a hand holding a Nokia that says like, I miss you on the Nokia screen. And like, exactly like the other piece, it's just like one-to-one, but just different styles. And they were like made like a week apart. And the one guy, Osbren, who copied her, was just completely denying everything. And it's like, it's just so blatantly obvious.
I think when it comes to stuff like that, it seems like it's pretty cut and dry. Maybe it gets more complicated with things that aren't painting, like, you know, music and sampling and, you know, film and using a, just because you have to. There's only so many plots. There's only so many, there's been so many movies made. So I think you, just taking the little pieces from all these different things maybe isn't quite the same as in certain mediums. It's like, so we hear you're hosting a art show in about a week or so. How's the process getting ready for that been for you?
So far the process has pretty much, a lot of it got taken care of really easily when we found a venue. That's pretty much in the past when I've tried to run an art show, the venue's always been the hardest thing to find. There's never any space that can host anything consistently or long-term or anything. But Rag & Bones was a really cool opportunity. So my friend Rowan Leary, they approached me and were like, hey, Rag & Bones is okay with this. And we're like, holy crap. The process so far has just been making an Instagram account, kind of talking to a bunch of professors who've put together shows or been in shows about what the different forms they have to fill out, what the paperwork is like. And so it's just been promo. So we have an Instagram account. We get everybody to send it around. We make flyers, put it out. So far we're at, I think, 27 submissions, and it closed last night, the submission form. So now is the point where we have to go through and see what we're actually going to have and what we're not going to have. So it's going to be interesting doing that, because ideally we'd love to have everybody. But at the same time, it's going to be like a tiny little bike shop, and we're not going to have like anything remotely similar to a standard gallery space.
It's always like that, I feel. I don't think I've ever been to one that's normal. They're always at someone's house or someone's like, Richmond's like that even more. I mean, coffee shop or someone's like restaurant. It's going to get even weirder probably. Yeah, thanks for coming in, talking with us today. Victor, I appreciate you, and yeah, thanks for your time. Anything else you want to let us know about before you head out?
Go follow Romanko Designs on Instagram. Roman KO Designs. That's about it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bad Attitude Podcast with our guest, Victor Romanko. Created by me, your host, Danny Celentano, our editor, Brett Coleman, and our producer, Abby DeCandia, and is a segment of the Revoice Network. Please give us a review and download the show. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to check out more podcasts on the Revoice Network, Podline and Common Talk. Tune in this Tuesday for releases of our final episodes, episodes 7 and 8, where we'll be talking with Serena Pearl. She's a painter, animator, and designer with a focus on mental health and personal identity. And you can listen to her and more this Tuesday only on the Revoice Network.